Pastor Chris Gordon with the real truth behind the parting of the Red Sea.
They were called to believe the single great story of Scripture from beginning to end, under the dominion of the devil, backed into his kingdom, yet God would back his son up against a cross. God would back up his son against a cross for you.
Boy, what a view of the gospel here in the Old Testament, huh? An exciting program straight ahead. Join us as we take a look at God routing the Israelites to where there's no place to go and no one else to trust but God. And what a place to be found in. It really is exciting. This is Abounding Grace Radio. Here's Pastor Chris Gordon with today's program.
God's about to split the sea and walk right through again. The whole scene is being reenacted. It's a death-like event. His presence is going. His covenant of grace is being shown that he is intending to fulfill. But the Lord wanted them to think about the fact that he was with them through the whole thing. Whatever was about to come to pass, he's with them, he's guiding them, he's fulfilling everything that he promised, he's guiding, he's assuring, he's passing through, he's leading them down the safe path so that the judgment won't touch one of them. Abraham, 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 I swore, I swore, I swore, drives this. The Shekinah glory shows up. The glory is there leading them. The Lord has displayed before the journey even begins his presence, fulfilling what he promised to Abraham, what he promised to Moses, I'll go with you. Joseph's body is there. I've got to bring my servant back. It's got to happen. Okay, that sets up everything. When you come to verse chapter 14, now we see this purpose unfolding. His presence is revealed. His purpose is now unfolding. Israel's going up for battle. He has rerouted them. All of a sudden, God does something now completely unexpected. Look at verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal Zephon. You shall encamp before it by the sea. Let me put this together, everything that's happened. They had traveled from Ramses to Succoth. The Lord on that path says, no. I'm not taking them that way. They're going to see the Philistines. They're going to see war. They will run back to Egypt. We're not going to go that way. So he stops and he reroutes them to go south by the way of the wilderness by the Red Sea. But now, the wilderness, you'll notice. But now in chapter 14, in verse 2, he turns them around and sends them back north to camp between Migdol, which was this mighty Egyptian fortress and tower, and the sea. Notice the Canaanite god is mentioned there, Baal Zephon. Put this together. God would not send them one way because they can't handle it, even though they're all equipped for battle. He takes them back, and then what does he do? A different route, and then he runs them back north. It's a giant kind of circle here. Does that sound safe? Nothing about this makes sense. They don't know this. Remember, you got 2 million people running. This can't be comfortable. Complete vulnerability, he just put them in a situation. If you're a military commander, you did the absolute worst thing you could do. I mean, it's worse than Custer's last stand. This is the worst thing. This is the bad choice. You are not leading your people right. You just placed your whole army, who has no ability to fight, in a position now they can't get out of. They can't run. He's backed them up against the Red Sea. Now remember, he said, they see the Philistines, they'll run. They're sheep for the slaughter. I mean, they are sheep for the slaughter. Why? Well, Pharaoh hears about this. It gets back into the courts that there are 2 million people of Israel mulling around, and the Pharaoh's officials are saying, these guys are idiots. Look at them out there. They can't even head out into the wilderness. They don't even know what they're doing. These Israelites are mulling around everywhere. They've gone up, they've gone back, they've gone over. They are confused, they're scared. They don't even know what to do. What just happened? Lord had just baited and hooked, didn't he? Now, it reminds you, Israel doesn't know this. You think they're starting to get a little frustrated? This makes no sense. this makes no sense. Verse 3, you get to the Lord's intentions. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they're bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. I'm going to harden one last time. I'm gaining glory. You watch, my glory will be shown. So Pharaoh hardens his heart. Their attitudes turn. 600 chariots he prepares. And they pursue Israel with vigor and force. What a drama. Backed up to the Red Sea, there they stand. No weapon. Well, they have weapons, but they don't know how to use them. They've never been taught warfare. They don't know how to fight the battle. Slaughter is waiting to happen. Enclosing them are Egypt's finest warriors, 600 chariots. That's like 600 of the U.S. best tanks coming at you. No one touched Egypt's chariots. The Psalms talk about horses and chariots all the time. Here come all of their mighty men. There's Pharaoh at the front. He did the Alexander the Great thing. He rode out in front. This is a nightmare. I mean, this is an absolute nightmare. You ever thought of the perplexity of this? They thought they were ready for battle. The Lord knows they couldn't handle seeing any war, right? He said that. They can't handle war. They'll run. So he puts them then in the absolute worst kind of situation, having to face a worse army, now backed up against the sea, so that they can't run. You see what God's done to them? Backed, surrounded, nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. That is a situation they cannot bear. He had just said they can't handle the Philistines. How are they going to handle this? I hear commonly 1 Corinthians 10 somewhat abused when say, well, God will never give us more than we can bear. I hear that so commonly said, and we really have not read that correctly. We have not read that correctly at all. God will put you in situations you can't bear, but he's promised to provide an escape. I mean, you're in situations you can't bear all the time. You can't fight this battle. They're in a situation they can't bear. And that's what he wanted. That's what he was after. That's what he was pursuing. Well, what do you do? What's your response? What was Israel's? Verse 10. When Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we might serve the Egyptians? For it, I mean, this is just unbelievable, right? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Serve, worship. Here comes all the chariots. Everything's falling apart. They have nowhere to go. They cry out to the Lord, you should have just left us alone, Moses. We told you that. It was better there than this. It was better there than to go through this. Rage. Where did that come from? We would have rather died serving him than the Lord. We stand back and say, you can't possibly mean, you cannot possibly mean that. You just witnessed the Lord pull you out. You've forgotten all of his power already. I mean, this is what the Psalms lamented. They forgot his power. They forgot his power. Oh, but remember, they were all ready for battle, right? They have fallen apart. I'm not going to beat them up too hard today. Ultimately, we are all being confronted right now with the real problem of our lives. That's the story of the Christian life. God broke their slavery. God defeated their enemy. He covered them with the blood of the Lamb. He gave them a feast of unleavened bread. Translate, the Lord broke our bondage to sin. He shed his son's blood passing over us at the very cross. He defeated the devil there, making a public spectacle of him, triumphing over him in it, Colossians 2. Disarming principalities and powers, gave you a brand new life. Old things have passed, all things have become new. You're ready for battle. Oh man, I'm saved, I'm out, I'm ready to fight. I'm all geared up. Just a few steps, and you find yourselves absolutely backed up against the Red Sea. Just a few steps. Meaning all of your independence, all of your self-confidence has just been assaulted right out of the gates. Physically, they can do nothing to deliver themselves. They are totally helpless. You turn around. Who's pursuing you right now? You turn around and look. Who's pursuing you? Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath. And that's Revelation. It's a story. You have a whole devil and his army coming after you. You think he cares about the world? He's got the world. Simon, Satan is asked to sift you as wheat. Paul said a messenger of Satan. He spoke so openly about Satan's attacks. We're all nervous about that today, but he did. A messenger of Satan was sent to torment me, said Paul, 2 Corinthians 11:12. You have no idea what's pursuing. Victorious by the blood of Christ, but the sinful nature and the devil in the world pursues in full force with lusts, idolatry, every resource possible to destroy you, and you're right back in the same disgusting ways, same disgusting sins. Spiritual battle is depicted here powerfully. Here's the truth of the matter. You think, I think, the Christian life is about running to what is easiest and most desirable. That's what you think the Christian life is. Do you understand that God is leading you into situations at times you can't get out of yourself? And what do you face? You face the enemy. Truth be told, who's the enemy here? The real enemy. The greatest enemy the Lord had driven them to face was them. Look at the hatred against God that came out. Who is the enemy against here? I mean, who is the enemy? Who are they raging out against? Well, it always happens to the leaders. Church leaders get the hit, but ultimately it's against God. Your life can get full of bitterness and complaining, and you take it out on the church. You know, you struggle in life, and you're always wanting to run to something better. You're always looking for something easier. You're always looking over the fence. People do this with church all the time. You think, come on, are you that shallow? You're always looking to something better. You're always looking to something easier. The reality is you want the glory road home. It's what you want. You want a red carpet spread out for you to come on into the wilderness to get home because you're entitled, right? And what does God do? You ever thought the reason you're so frustrated with life and you feel backed up, pinned up against the sea with a variety of tyranny of circumstances, Lloyd-Jones called him that, is because God has backed you up into a place where he won't let you run so that you face you. And you face him. People in times of conflict run. They run the other way. They run to the past. They run back. They try to. God actually backs up his people so they can't run to face the greatest enemy And then that attitude comes out of the heart, and everything that flows out from the heart is exposed. I know some of you are depressed right now. I know some of you are discouraged. I know some of you are panicked. I know some of you are full of fear. You feel completely backed up. You're absolutely weary. You want to run, but you can't. You want to hide, but you can't. You know where you are. You want out. I understand that. And then you can get so bitter. What should you do? Hands are up? You can't fight? You're scared? God says, I want you right there. Right there. What does Moses do? Oh, this is so wonderful. Do not be afraid. Stand still. Stand firm. And see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you. Only hold your peace. I mean, that's kind of worth a highlight, isn't it? Don't be afraid. How can he say that? 600 chariots are coming at them. You have nowhere to turn. The Lord says, and only he could say that. Only the Lord could say that. There's nothing in life you ever have to fear. Remember, his presence was there. You're my possession. I won't be afraid, says the psalmist, of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you've struck my enemies on the cheekbone. You've broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. The Lord, we forgot already, as we're looking at this, had already led them and had come down to dwell with them. Openly, he tells us all over the scriptures, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And then he gives us of his Spirit, who not only goes with us, but dwells in us. And his power rests upon us, the glory Spirit, the Shekinah glory. So blessed are you, says Peter, when the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you in all of your afflictions. I'm bringing you home. There's a body that's going with you. Don't you see it? It's Joseph's. Stand firm. See God's salvation, because you're going to see these Egyptians no more ever again. The Lord will fight for you. All you have to do is be silent. Shut your mouths. Stop jabbing. Just be quiet. And put your feet firmly on the ground and watch me work. I backed you into this to show my glory. You just stand still. You can't deliver yourselves. You can't change your circumstances. You can't defeat the enemy. You can't even escape from him. You've brought all this anxiety on your life and all this panic and all this worry. And I'm telling you right now, I'll fight that battle for you. I'm doing this for my glory. I'm doing this because I swore to Abraham to save you. And he's going to split the sea right now in the next scene next week. And you're going to see the covenant of grace unfold, ultimately leading us to the cross. I'll fight, I'll fight, I'll fight. And that's the story today. They were called to believe the single great story of Scripture from beginning to end, under the dominion of the devil, backed into his kingdom, yet God would back his son up against a cross. God would back up his son against a cross for you. Complete vulnerability, complete weakness. He would put him as an innocent lamb in a violent world. All of our enemies pursued him. All of our enemies beat him. They grabbed him. They split him open. They shed his blood. And when he was backed up on that wood and nailed there to the cross, when the last enemy was there, he confronted it and he beat him for you, saying it's finished. Displaying his glory and power to the ends of the earth. And he did that for messed up, non-trusting, stiff-necked people just like you and me. Freeing us and giving us the victory. This is your God. This is your God. Don't expect the glory road, though. Some of you have got to get off the glory road. Stop murmuring about this and that. The Lord loves you and calls you today to believe him and fight. He'll fight for you. This is why the New Testament's constantly saying, be strong in the Lord and the power of whose might? Therefore, take up the armor of God that you may be able to stand, having done all to stand. You're not fighting this battle with your swords. The Lord's fighting it, and you stand in his armor. In whatever you face, in whatever's going on in your life, never take your eyes off him. And you see, this table declares to you, like the Passover did for them, looking forward, Jesus instituted the supper to declare to all who believe in him today, he has fought the battle and won. That's the message. And he wants you to trust him that he completes the work that he starts in you. Do you believe that today? He completes the work he started in you. He's not reneging on that. So don't panic. Don't worry. Don't fear. He loves you. But you must trust him and believe his gospel promises. Put your feet down and close the mouth and with the heart trust him today. Today he wants you to celebrate his supper to all who believe the gospel, to know that he finishes the work. The battle is his all the way through, from beginning to end. Justification, sanctification, glorification, it's his battle for you. Believe him, trust him. That's what he secured for you in his son.
Seems to be a rather dark moment to be backed up against a corner with no place to go, but those are the times God uses to glorify himself and exalt himself in our lives, and what a great place to find oneself in the middle of. If you have a praise report, we would love to hear from you. They always mean a great deal to us. It lets us know that the program is, in fact, having a positive effect on your life as you seek to live it out to the glory of God in the grace of Christ. Here's how you reach out to us. As always, our web address, agradio.org. Other formats are available. The jumping off points there for Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, again, agradio.org. Or give us a call, 888-504-8805. If you're writing to us, the address is Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And then, if you have a question or a praise report, we would encourage you to pull out your smartphone, access the Voice Memo app, leave your name and where you're calling from, your praise report or your question, and then email that audio to us at questions@agradio.org. And we'll do our best to have Chris answer any question you have, or we'll at least be encouraged by your praise reports. That always means a great deal to us. But again, get out that Voice Memo app. Send us a question or a praise report to questions@agradio.org. Well, let's close out our time together today, shall we, with a word of prayer. Once again, here's Pastor Chris.
Gracious Heavenly Father, where do we begin to thank you this morning for your love and your faithfulness? We have spoken out so much, ultimately against you, and you have been so kind and faithful to us, and this is what you do for us. You fight the battle. Give us confidence in your gospel promises. Let's take great joy and delight in being your people in whatever circumstance you put us in whatever we face, to know that we belong to you and that you have said to us, you will fight. And so forgive us for trying to fight this ourselves. Forgive us for our terrible spirit and attitude of complaining against you and leaders and church and all these things. Forgive us for thinking that we could ever do this ourselves. Today we stand firm in the gospel promises, and today we look to you, Lord Jesus, the one who's gone before us to split the sea and baptized us in Christ, the one who, in whom we have life, and ask that you would be the joy of our salvation and that we would be excited that whatever you put us through, you are demonstrating your glory so that all may bow and praise the God of Israel. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
And amen. Well, tomorrow we will go on to begin our look at the parting of the Red Sea. They've got their backs against the sea, nowhere else to go but to trust God. And then, as Pastor Chris mentioned earlier today, here on the program, God reenacts, if you will, the covenant he made with Abraham by parting the Red Sea. That's tomorrow on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Until then, God bless.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday.
That's right, Chris, we would. And our worship services, because of the heat and earlier darkness, begin 9:30 for the morning service and 3 p.m. for the evening service. And both are held under the tent at Calvin Christian. Well, here's Pastor Chris once again. If you'd like to know more, with information on how to reach out to us,
you can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.